If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, I'll start in Matthew 28 today, here in a few moments. Oftentimes when we think of mission work, we always seem to think of over there. We're going to go do some mission work over there. I have made probably 15 or more trips to Honduras over there, where we build houses, where we feed hungry, where we do VBSs, where we do some great mission work. We've had some people from this church go to Mexico City during spring break. Before that, we had another group go with Rodney Roberts to Mexico City and to Paxico. We've got a group coming up with a high school group that's going to be going to Paxico later this summer at the end of June. And those are great works, great things that are going on. And I'm thankful for Sunset and the work that it does by doing missions all over the world. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But can I remind you, sometimes we think of mission work as outreach, something we go and do over there, that we take off and we go do mission work here and we go do mission work there. And that's a common thing to think. I also want to remind you that that is true, but mission work isn't just something you do go do over there. It's something you also do over here. It's really easy sometimes for us to think about, let's load up and plan a trip and go do some mission work. Let's load up, plan a trip, go do some mission work. When really mission work can be done every day where we live, when you leave the building on Sunday, you go into the mission field. And I'm hoping by the time we're through talking this morning about local outreach, that I can have you thinking on the lines of mission work isn't something you go do over there. It's also something you do over here. It's not an either or. It is a both. And we need to do a good job at not just being people who send missionaries or people who take and send groups over there, but also think about becoming people who we're going to do mission work here as well. I got that mindset. There would be people sometimes between mission trips, when we were doing mission trips going to Honduras, and they would go, when are you going back to the mission field? And I always love to say, in the morning when I get up and leave the house, I am going out on the mission field. If we would just get that philosophy in our mind, and I've said it before, that when you leave this building, if it was over every door in this facility, that as you're leaving, you are walking out onto the mission field to do mission work, to go and to teach and to serve. Those are all things that have to take place. And so I want to share with you this morning those three words, go and teach and serve, and what they have to do with you and what they have to do with me. And so if you're in Matthew 28, I want to read with you the verses there that probably would be my guess. If I was a betting man, I would bet these verses have been read and quoted in this church building facilities more than any verses in the Bible. I know that when I was a student here at SIBI, it was like day one, memorize the Great Commission, go into all the world. So let's read this together, all right? So here in verse 18, then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very ends of the age. That word go is a great word because it's for us. It is to go. We are to leave here today and go on to the mission field. The church needs to leave the building and go be church in our community, in your schools, in your workplaces. We need to go. I love the stories. I never quite was sure when I was a young man where the phrase came from, Elvis has left the building. But I did a little bit of reading and research and found out that Elvis was so popular that when he would do a concert, the people would refuse to leave. They would still chant, hoping he would come back or do a song or two. And finally, the guy that was running the concert would have to go out and go, guys, Elvis has left the building. Go home. And sometimes I think God would love for us to just stop and think for a second and say, hey, Jesus is out there. Go be Jesus to someone. Leave the building and go do mission work wherever it is that God has planted you today. We must see our local community as a mission field. You must see the place where you work, the place where you go to school, the neighborhoods you live in as the mission field and as everyone who needs Jesus. You must see people out there, that person, every person you rub shoulders with, needs Jesus. Sometimes we have good excuses. We really do. Sometimes we go, well, it's not my gift, or it's not my talent. I want you to notice in here what Jesus didn't say in Matthew 28. He did not say, go into all the world if it's your gift. He did not say, go into all the world if it's your talent. He just said, go. He said, this is something everybody should do, that you should be someone who lives out Jesus in your life every day. And you may be thinking, I just don't know enough. How do I go out and talk to people about Jesus? You just bring up Jesus in a conversation. Share your story about how you met Jesus, how you came to Jesus. What a great way to start. I've heard of people that just said, I don't really know what to teach, so we're just going to sit down and read the Gospel of Mark together. What a great thing to do. There's so many things you can do to share Jesus. I know fear of rejection is a thing. I even have fear of rejection of sometimes somebody telling me no. I know of a lady in Childress, Texas, where I moved from. Four times I have invited her to church. Four times she has told me no. If I ever go back and bump into her and I'm going to be preaching on Sunday, I'll ask her to come. She may tell me no, but I'm going to ask her. But you know, four times I've been told by no by her. But do you know how many times I've been told yes by other people? Probably 10 times as many times as I have been told no, I've been told, yes, thank you for inviting me. I've told them, I said, I've got a spot on my row. Come sit with me. And so we just tend to focus on the rejection and not on the fact that so many people will come if you will just ask. We must remember and understand that everyone needs Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I can promise you that we will not reach the lost in our community by simply turning on the lights on Sundays and Wednesdays and hoping folks will show up. We have got to be people who go. The first word is go. Leave the building. The second word I want you to catch is teach, is to teach. Jesus actually said in his commandment to the apostles there, therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach. Teach them everything that I have commanded you. That means you're going to be required to open your mouth. Every person that you have ever laid eyes on matters to God. There is not anybody that God says, no, not that one. Every person that you have ever seen, ever laid eyes on. And I love the fact that the apostles set the example in this. That it wasn't, and Jesus as well, that it wasn't just, I mean, Peter spoke to 3,000 people plus. There were just 3,000 that were baptized on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But I mean, here's Peter going, man, I got this huge crowd. This was awesome. But did you know in Acts chapter 3, he presents the gospel to one handicapped, lame man? Because to him, whether it's 3,000 or it's one, we're going to preach the gospel. And I love that Peter was that way, Peter and John. Don't overlook anyone. Sometimes we tend to be people that go, hey, so-and-so is moving into our community. They're good folks. Let's invite them to church. And that's wonderful. There's not anything wrong with that. But can I remind you that Jesus spent time inviting people into the kingdom who didn't look like him or act like him, people who were tax collectors, an adulterous woman, a five-time divorcee. And we need to be people who don't overlook people. I have a friend named Richard. Richard had a pretty rough reputation in a small community of Childress, Texas. During COVID, Richard's dad died. He had to step up and kind of be the man of the family. He posted on Facebook and said, we have no place to have a funeral. I immediately sent Richard a message on Facebook because he and I weren't really close friends at all. And I said, Richard, our building's available. My building, your building. Make it yours. You can use it. He said, really? I said, absolutely. He said, can we have food up there? I said, you can do anything you want. Plan the funeral. I'll make sure it's open. Do it. Richard and I began to start building a friendship and a relationship. I literally had people in the community that said, hey, pump the brakes on this. Be careful. He's got a rough reputation. I said, I know, but that's all right. God didn't put him in my life for me to ignore him. Richard and I became friends, and we got to know each other better and better, and we've done some studying. We did some reading. And I still remember the day that Richard called me and said, I am ready to be baptized. And I met him and his wife over at the building on a Thursday night, and Richard was baptized that night. And can I just tell you, Satan took one on the chin that night. He really, really did. Because a guy that moved over from one side to the other, and Richard didn't take his faith lightly. He came to church. Guy that had never been to church. I don't know what it'd be like to be awkward enough to walk into a building, never having a clue what's going on. I've never been to a church service before. Started coming to church. In a few weeks, we had him being a greeter. Wasn't too long, we had him serving communion. All I could do is look up there and just go, man, Richard, look at you. God is good. Because he's a guy that for so long, God just, you know, hey, the time's coming, the time's coming. You may not have known it, but Richard was here 3 or 4 weeks ago, sat on a pew with me with his daughter, whom I baptized during services. Remember that? Richard actually, I told Richard, I said, yeah, you know Harley can be baptized anywhere, right? And said, oh, no, no, no. She called me. She said, I know I can be baptized anywhere, but you baptized my dad. I want you to baptize me. Now, the point in all of it is we tend to sometimes overlook people. We tend to look at folks and go, hey, that guy's life, that lay, man, their life is so messed up. Those are the people that need Jesus too. My job and your job is not to clean their life up. That's Jesus' job to clean their life up. We'll get them going in the right direction. Just point people to Jesus. That's what matters. That's all that matters. Just get them pointed toward Jesus. Don't overlook anyone. Can I give you some ideas real quick? Let me just give you some suggestions of ways that you can open your mouth and teach that don't even include opening your mouth sometimes. So first, open your mouth. Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch. God put Philip in the right place at the right time to talk to an Ethiopian eunuch on a road. And the Bible actually says Philip opened his mouth. You got to open your mouth. Sometimes you can ask somebody, is there anything I can pray about today? I love doing that. Is there anything I can pray about for you? Sometimes I'll just send a text to somebody going, is there something I can pray about for you? Well, I've eaten with some of y'all in restaurants where you've asked the waitress, is there anything we can pray about for you today? You've just opened a Jesus conversation right there. Sometimes when I'm at the store and I'm checking out and I'm having a conversation with a person that's behind the register, I will tell them, you have a blessed day. Do you know what's the difference between a good day and a blessed day? A blessed day is something that comes from God. You've just told somebody, hey, this is more than just somebody that wants me to have a good day. This is somebody that's asked a blessing. It's very simple. You don't always have to just build a relationship. You can take Facebook and social media and do so many things for God. You also can do so many things for the guy on the other side too with your social media. Don't do that. But put a verse on there. Put a verse on your social media post so people will know this person's a Christ follower. One of the best things you can do, forward or share the sermon from sunset on Sunday. Because you have friends that maybe sunset doesn't follow sunset's page, and all you've done is you've moved a gospel sermon off of just a sunset page over to your friends on your page that may listen to it. One of the challenges I threw out to the church in Childress during COVID was, hey, here's what I want you to do. If you're joining me online, I want you to share this post. There were weeks, the statistics said that we had 12 and 15,000 people that had watched a lesson online because we would have 300 and 400 people share it online. And all that was doing was getting the gospel out somewhere. Talk about how much you love church. Talk about a lesson that you learned in church. Invite someone to church. Any of those things. And can I ask you, can I remind you, one of the best things you can do is pray and ask God to help you see people with His eyes. To say, God, can you help me see people as you see people? Help me to see the value in people. Help me to see people. Put people in my life that need Jesus that I can talk to. Because if you're not paying attention, God's going to put them in your life. And if you're not paying attention, you're never going to see them. Or you'll just think, oh, that was an accidental coincidence that I bumped into that guy. Did you know in Tulia, Texas, years ago, I was making a hospital visit. Had a family that said, hey, will you go out and see my grandfather? He's out in the hospital. I said, I can. I don't know him, but I'll be more than happy to visit. And they told me, said, he's really, really hard of hearing. You're going to have to yell. You may just have to, if he don't have his hearing aids in, you're just going to have to get up in his face and yell at him. So I walk in his room, and I lean over, and I talk as loud as I can talk. And I say, hello, Mr. Brown, you know, and I'm yelling at him, and he's got this forehead kind of squinches in. He looks at me, and I think, can he still not hear me? Because he's not saying anything. He's just looking at me like, I don't understand. And so I, a little louder, I tell him who I am and what I'm doing there. And he finally says, why are you yelling at me? And why are you calling me Mr. Brown? I was in the wrong room. But did you know that I built a friendship with that man? Every day when I'd go out to see Mr. Brown, the real Mr. Brown, I would stick my head in on the other fake Mr. Brown. I'd go, hey, you doing all right today? Is there anything I can pray about today? And it wasn't long before my new friend had asked, can you have somebody pick me up to go to church with you? And we had deacons that would pick him up every Sunday to come to church with him, all because of an accidental hospital visit. You just never know. You can't not pay attention to the people around you. Ask God to help you see this. And what I want you to do, what I need you to do, and even on Sundays, I need you to be the friendliest, nicest people around. We need to be the friendliest church. You need to be those folks that you just are greeting people when you come in. And can I just challenge you for 3 minutes, 3 minutes every Sunday, just as soon as services is over. I can't greet all the visitors. For the first 3 minutes, when they say, hey, services is over, see you next week, take 3 minutes to go find somebody that you don't know, somebody that's not of your group, because I know when services are over, you want to go talk to your friend over here, your friend over here, I want to go see this friend over here. Take 3 minutes and go see somebody you don't know and just go, glad you were here today. That may be the difference that someone needs to go, I was greeted, I want to come back. Let's be the friendliest people inside and outside that there are. So let's look at the third word for a second. And while you're there, if you'll notice Matthew 25, I want us to back up and look at a separate text for a second, because outreach is done a lot of ways. In Matthew 25, we read a story about judgment. We read a story about Jesus telling a story about some sheep and some goats. And if you've got your Bible, look with me, because this is an incredible story. And if it doesn't put a little bit of fear in you, then you're not reading the story right. But when you get down to verse 34, here's Jesus, the king, and he says to those on the right during judgment, come to me, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And those sheep on the right, they go, Jesus, I don't remember ever doing this for you. And Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these, whatever you did for other people like this, you did it for me as well. When you fed the homeless person, you fed Jesus. And then Jesus turns to those on his left, what is called the goats. And the story changes a little bit. And Jesus says, "Depart from me," this is verse 41, "you who are cursed into eternal fire." Verse 42, "I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." And they ask, "Lord, when did we see you like this? Because we'd have helped you if we'd have known it was you." And Jesus says, "Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you didn't do for me." A text will sometimes just kind of wake you up. And what I'd like to remind you for a second is that the example of teaching and serving go hand in hand. They are not a either or, they are a yes and yes. We sometimes have a generation that comes along. We've got a generation, every church kind of has this. We've got a generation that goes, "It's about going and preaching the gospel." Then we got a generation over here that's about, "Hey, it's about feeding the hungry and serving in our community." And can I just say, what we need to do is put everybody in a big sack and shake them up and pull it all out, because it's both. Because sometimes you can't teach unless you serve first. And Jesus set that example. How many times, the only miracle that's ever recorded in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. And he not only did that, but he also fed 4,000 at a different time. And every time these people were coming to be taught, and he said, "Let me feed them as well because they're hungry." It was about service and teaching. It was about go and teach and serve. And all of those things go together. And you really, it's kind of hard to separate them at the same time. Sometimes people aren't going to listen to what you've got to say about Jesus until they know that you care about them, that you love them, that you'll serve them, that you'll help them. At the same time, you can't just go serve people all the time and never bring up Jesus, because what they really need is Jesus more than they need service, although they need served as well. We want to serve people, but we also want to talk about Jesus in that as well. We want to serve and we want to tell. It's not one or the other, it's both. So I made a lot of trips to Honduras over the years, and we would go down there and we would build, lots and lots of houses. We would feed hungry people. We would talk to people about Jesus. And I had this one deacon that loved to deacon. He did his job. And I'd get home and he'd go with me and he'd go, "So what are we going to do in Childress, Texas?" And I'd go, but it's really hard to go do here in Childress what we did over there. And he'd go, "I don't think it is." And I'd go, "It's really hard. You can't build a house over there like you can you build a house here like you build over there and get it okayed for somebody to live in." He said, "It's about teaching and it's about preaching and it's about serving." So one day, my friend John Henderson calls me, that deacon, and calls me and says, "Hey, can you meet me at this address on Avenue H?" And so before I even got to the office, I grabbed my coffee and I said, "I'll meet you there." I didn't know what he was doing. He said, "Just meet me at this address." I show up and we show up at this house right here. Check out this picture. Rough. Obviously vacant. Somebody needed to take a bulldozer and push that thing over. In fact, the city had planned just to do that. It was on the disposal list to get rid of this house and just clear the lot. But John had gone down and asked, "Do you got any houses in this community that we could buy for the tax purposes?" And they said, $1,200, it's yours." John forked over $1,200 and bought this house right here. And I said, "John, what are we going to do with this?" And he said, "We're going to fix this up and we're going to give it away in our community and we're going to bless someone and we're going to share the gospel with them." And I said, "John, I love that idea." And we got busy. And the next picture you can kind of see, it took about 6 months. But we got busy and we had people in our church, just like there are in this church, that knew how to tile floors and knew how to do electrical and knew how to do plumbing and knew how to do all these things. And before you knew it, this house turned into this house. The house that was $1,200 we bought appraised from the city at about nearly $60,000. And that's really pretty expensive in a community such as Childress. There was nothing in that house that was not brand new by the time we were done. And we went out in the community and we started asking, who is someone who lives in government housing or an apartment complex that would never be able to afford a house? And we found someone that worked at the hospital as a hospital employee. And we went to her and we said, we have something for you. And she said, what is it? And I said, I somehow got to be the guy that went and told her. I said, we're working on a house and we want to give it to you. And she said, no, really, what? I said, really? We handed her keys to the house one morning, had a celebration. She told us the day before, she said, I even have washer and dryer hookups. I've never had a washer and dryer in my life. Guess what we had for her the next day? Somebody said, I got a set of washer and dryer in Owen. We put it in the house. She got a picture of her hugging the washer and dryer the next day. She still lives in that house. We presented the gospel to her. It started through service. And can I tell you that as awesome as this was, by the time I left, we not only did one house, but we had about 12 houses like this that we had put people in and from our community. Now, here's the cool thing. Can I share this with you? Not to pat ourselves on the back. In a small community like Childress, Texas, churches are generally known, much like in Lubbock, where they're located. Where you go to church? I go to Sunset. Oh, y'all are the 34th, and yes. Where you go to church? Oh, Children's Church Christ. Oh, over by the elementary school, yes. Can I say we need to be known for something other than our location? I'm in United in Childress, Texas, and I'm on an aisle, and I look up, and this woman looks me in the eyes, and she goes, Aren't you one of the preachers at the Church of Christ? And my first thought was, it depends. Depends what you want, you know. I said, I'm one of them. I didn't know where she was going. And she said, you ready for this? She said, aren't you Church of Christ folks? Y'all are the ones that... And in my head, I paused and went down all the negative things that I've heard. Y'all are the ones that don't do this, or y'all are the ones that do this, or you're the ones that do that. And then she said, aren't y'all the ones that are always doing kind things in our community for people? And I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You've heard about us. And my heart just pounded. And we visited for a minute, and she went around the aisle. And I was on the aisle by myself, and I did a little jig right there in the aisle because I was so excited, because I thought, what a great thing for God's church to be known for. Our kindness and our service and our love and our ability to reach and preach the gospel to people. Let's be a church that's known not just by our location, but for our kindness in our community in Lubbock, Texas, for how we serve. And when we serve, can I just say, let's serve and give it our best. Let's do our very, very best. We have some great outreach programs here. You may not have ever thought of these as outreach, but can I just tell you, Trunk or Treat is an absolutely fantastic outreach program. We have people that have been in the early service and the late service on Sundays. And I go, why are you here? Oh, I come to y'all's Trunk or Treat. I had a man the other day at my house that delivered a shed. I needed a shed at my house. He delivered a shed and he said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm one of the ministers at the Sunset Church of Christ. And he goes, I know you guys. Y'all do Trunk or Treat every year. And I said, yes, sir. And I thought, that's wonderful. What a great outreach opportunity that we're looking for to do more. Our preschool, our school that we have here, Mondays through just kids programs, Monday through Friday, what a great outreach program that is. Let's serve and love and tell kids and parents about the gospel. So many great things. Our college ministry is absolutely incredible. There is so much potential in our college ministry to reach a younger generation. And we're working on that. We're learning new ways and things to do. Let's be people who serve with our best. Let me close. We're out of time. A few years back, there was a homeless man that came around the corner while we were at Sonic on a Wednesday night. I'd loaded all, every Wednesday night was our routine to go to Sonic, and I had all the kids in the car. He rounded the corner, and I saw him, and it was no doubt he was homeless. He looked like a homeless man and rounded the corner, and he went to a car, and I saw him kind of wave him off, and it went to another car, and somebody waved him off, and I rolled my window down, and I said, "Hey, what? Come over here and tell me what you're looking for." I figured he was hungry, and I was going to buy him some food. And he come over to me and he said, I got something for you. And I said, "You're going to give me something?" He said, "Well, I'm going to trade you something." And I said, what's the trade?" He said, "Well, I'd like $10 because I'm really, really hungry. But I think I have something in my hand that you would be willing to take. And I think you're going to want it so much so that if you're not blown away with this, you can keep your $10 and have what I got in my hand too. Because you've never had one of these. You've probably never even seen one of these." And by that time, I've already got my $10 out. And I'm like, "All right, what you got in your hand?" And he opens his hand, and right in the palm of his hand, you know what it was, don't you? "Come back next week." No, I'm not going to do that to you, all right? He opened his hand, and he had a quarter. And I said, "Well, that looks kind of like a quarter. I've had one of those before." And he goes, "Oh, no. You haven't had this kind of quarter." And I said, "What's special about that quarter?" He said, "This is a man's last quarter." He said, "Have you ever had a man's last cent?" I said, "I have not." He said, "I will give you this last quarter, the last thing a man owns, if you'll swap me a $10 bill. I said, "You got a deal." I gave him $10, and he was excited, and he just about turned away, and I thought, "Oh, hold on. I said, "That $10 is going to wear, you're going to use it up. And you're going to have to find somebody that's going to swap you another $10 for a last quarter. Why don't I give you this back and you can use it for somebody else tomorrow in case you need to eat again?" And he goes, "That's really a good idea." And he went in and got him something to eat. Here's the thing I want you to catch. Can you and I become people so desperate for telling others about Jesus, so willing to give Jesus away, to share Jesus, that we're willing to have a conversation with anyone, anywhere about Jesus, even at a window at Sonic? Can we just get past our comfort zone that says, "Hey, I'll do whatever it takes to come up anywhere and just tell someone that Jesus has been good to me without fear of what they might say?" That guy was awfully brave, and I liked his scheme, and he was hungry and needed to be fed. Can we be people who go, "I just want to share Jesus, whatever it takes, whatever it takes"? So I close with this. Let's be a church that's known for its love and its service of others. And let us be a church that does mission work over there and over here as well. You're about to leave. My challenge to you, we're about done. When you go today, think of it. I'm walking out onto the mission field. Wherever you go eat today, there'll be people that need to hear about Jesus. When you go to work tomorrow, you're on the mission field. Be Jesus. Be Jesus. See all around you as your mission field. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you're here this morning and would like prayers, that we can pray about something specific for you. If you want to come during the song, you can. If you're ready to give Christ your life and be baptized, great time to do that as well. If you have a need that we can help you with, would you come as we stand and sing?